Man is born, man lives, man dies, and it's all vanity, vanity. And that's about the way it is in the merry-go-round. You get on, you go around, standing in the saddle. What are teenagers doing today? They're trying every thriller is in the books. We got colored TV. But it still isn't satisfying. Man is born. Man lives. Man dies. And it's all.
This is Infants on Thrones. The philosophies of men mingled with humans. We are the core.
Let's start with the announcement, maybe. Do you want to do that, Tom?
The podcast award announcement, right?
Yeah.
Yep, podcastawards.com. So yeah, if you guys like us at all, I mean, besides giving us an iTunes rating and whatever, go to Podcast Awards and nominate us. And then after you nominate us, come back and then vote for us after we get in.
First things first,
nominate us. And what can we be nominated for? What do we want to be nominated for?
Yeah, the categories, yeah.
I would say our best shot is probably in religion inspiration.
Oh, I hate that. I guess there might be some things that are, but we're kind of like anti-religion and
easy
inspiration
there
stuff, don't you think?
Why don't you go ahead and slap a label on all of us at once?
I'm just saying,
Dick.
You don't think like we're religious inspirational?
Yeah. Not really.
No.
Inspirational? Come on.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but I know that was it the Fair podcast has won that category in the past.
Really?
Yeah.
This thing, for the Fair podcast has.
Oh, this just lost all credibility to me.
That's what I mean. If we're going to go head to head with somebody, we got to go with them, right?
Well, in that category, yeah.
Entertainment's going to be tough. It's going to be like Mark what's his name?
Mark McCone.
Whatever his name is.
Donovan McNabb. To that podcast.
Adele Dazeem.
Yeah, and Adam Carolla. And,
yeah.
You know.
But still, I mean, don't you want to even, like Tom was saying, one of the reasons for even entering this is to maybe what raised the profile, have people listen to us that wouldn't normally listen to us.
Yeah, widen our reach.
So even if we just get on a ballot and people are voting for us, they'll go, what's Infants on Thrones? I got to listen to it before I can vote for it. Maybe, you know.
Well, every year I look at the nominees.
And then I listen.
Yeah, I listen to at least the ones that win, but I also listen to ones that I'm like, I've never heard of that, especially in categories that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Some of them pan out, some of them don't pan out. Like, how did they win again? What?
So. I don't know how Fair could have won anything other than like legions of apologetic disciples descended on the.
You know, I haven't even looked. I assume they have an iTunes rating. Are we beating them there? I haven't even looked.
Well, let's take a look.
What is it called? Just Fair or Faircast?
Yeah, something like that. Faircast. Type in Fair. Try Fair Mormon.
There's Fair Mormon and Fair. There's Fair Mormon Rise Up. Oof, oh gosh, Fair Mormon has 99 reviews or 99 ratings.
That's okay. Pretty good, right?
We've got 273.
In your face!
Fair Mormon. And,
jeez.
Yeah, our ratio is much higher, too, because of those 99, only 77 are five-star.
Oh, they have like low ratings. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, they've got 11 one stars, and yeah. So I don't think they've got us there. There was another one that popped up that was Fair Mormon Rise Up, but that one doesn't have any votes on it.
Hmm. Well, our podcast is more fluff than discussion.
Yes, but what fluff?
Silly sound effects and audience cheering. It's all disruptive and very juvenile.
Spoiler alert. So
I almost deleted your podcast from my lineup. God, this is
we'll
gold.
Get to that one.
It's gold, Jerry. It's gold.
It's gold. It's gold. Oh, it is. It's Ovaltine. So out of 273, we've got 262 that are 5-star.
Wow.
So it's a good ratio.
Yep.
But freaking John DeLynn, man, when he saw we were creeping up on him,
he
posts on Facebook, you guys go and do this, and like within 3 hours, crushed us, man.
It's the cult of personality.
Dude, he's got the New York Times.
And well, that's why on Twitter I said he was the Matt Long of the podcast world.
Yeah.
You saw that, right?
Oh, yeah, I did see that. That was pretty fun.
That was awesome.
So back to this podcast award thing. The categories, like, there's best produced.
Yep, that's the one that I nominated us in, and I did general. And religion, and then you did, I think entertainment would be safe bet, but like Matt said earlier, it's going to be some pretty heavy competition in entertainment and People's Choice. That's why I was like, I don't really want to touch that. I mean, yeah. People's Choice, This American Life, Radio Lab, and WTF, and there's been a few others that are like, you know, the big heavy hitters.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. It's nice to have a 7-figure budget for the year.
Sure. Right. Yeah, right.
So what's the time frame for nominating us? How long is it open to nominate?
Nominations close February 2nd, 2015.
So, crap.
We're up against it.
Yeah. That's about a week away.
But the ceremony will be held at the New Media Expo in Vegas, Tuesday, April 14th. But while you're doing that, you can also go to Latter-day Main Street and vote for us on the Brodies. I think we got a few stuff up, a few items up there. Am I right?
Didn't we win last year or 2 years ago, that one?
Yeah, we've won a few times.
No, I think 2 years ago, there was one category that was like best new blog or podcast,
so.
and we got that in 2012, no, or 2013, but it was 2012, but 2013 we didn't get anything. Nobody nominated us for anything, but we didn't really pick up. I mean, we were kind of doing like once a month stuff, and then it was really last year about this time that we started regularly once a week or more. I mean, I think last year we did like 103 or 104 episodes of the 140 or so that we've done.
God, that's like two a week, man. That's impressive.
Well, I just pulled up Latter-day Main Street, and we are listed as best humor satire site or blog. We're listed in the best LDS interest audio/video channel, along with Brother Jake. We got to take that guy out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
How about a category of whiny, dorky Mormon guys who think they're funny?
Not. You keep jumping ahead, man.
This thing is so beautiful. I love it. It's delicious to the taste and very desirable.
It is. That's why I put it on there. You'd like it.
Best musical work is, we're the only one nominated, Too Sexy by Infants on Thrones.
Oh, really? Cool.
That's the only one. If we win by default, is that a win or a...
Hell yes, that's, win.
That's how I became student body president.
Yeah, just because there's no one else running against you doesn't take away from the win.
That's right. They were all just too scared to do so. Seb put together that Holland rap. That one wasn't nominated.
That was great.
You know?
Funniest humor piece. We've got Satan Files for Bankruptcy and Coffee is in there. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah. Whatever. I think Zelf on the Shelf deserves a nod there.
You're absolutely right. poignant personal story. We got Death by Nick Bigney from Infants on Throne.
Oh, I wasn't even in that one.
So, yeah, don't vote for it.
Yeah, even the ones that Randy...
I don't want that one to win.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was a great podcast.
Yeah.
We got the best podcast series or episode. placebo effect.
As long as you're not arguing about gluten allergies.
And we got most interesting interfaith interaction. We got the Christmas Jesus and stuff. That was one. Huh. That was one of our episodes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was one that you weren't on.
Yeah, so yeah. Don't vote for it.
Every single one that's nominated is one that I'm not on.
Is that saying anything?
It's reeling a pattern.
That mean you're going to quit? Does that mean that this is your last appearance on Infants on Thrones?
This is my swan song.
Oh man.
Oh, well,
again.
It's been fun.
It has been, but apparently people don't like me.
Come on, everybody. Let's join together and sing our hearts out to keep Randy on the podcast. You know what I'm saying? Looking in your eyes, I see a memory. Tears are in my eyes. How happy you made me, oh, Randy. When you came and you gave without taking. But I sent you. Stop me from shaking, and I need you to stay, oh, Randy.
Oh, all right. So, and then best review, we have Little Factories.
All right.
Again,
that one should win.
Another one I'm not on.
You were on that, weren't you, Randy?
No. Huh. I tried to crash it so that you guys would re-record it with me on it. and Glenn's response was like, dude, fuck you.
So here's what you can do to re-record it. Basically, we do have a listener essay that uses a lot of quotes from that. It's in Dropbox, so I'll point you to it. But you can head that one up.
There you go.
Okay. Thanks for the pity. Thanks for throwing me the pity scraps from the table.
You came and you gave without flaking. But I sent you Bengay, oh, Andy. You kissed me and stopped me from something. And I...
Dad, why are you singing?
So, do you guys want to disclose the Delin bump that we got from the Mormon Stories episode in early December?
Sure, Tom.
According to your numbers that you sent, Glenn, we didn't exactly double, but we came close.
Yeah, it depends how you look at it, because if you know, we've gradually been increasing. Our biggest bump was, you know, Tom Phillips in February last year, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it kind of like multiplied our listenership by a factor of 10. You know, it had a really big impact. And then we had steady growth from there. So like in November, if you look at the total number of downloads per week, we were around 17,000 downloads per week. Now, we were releasing multiple episodes per week. You know, sometimes we did two, sometimes we did three. I think one week we even did four. It was kind of crazy because I wanted to get like I think that was October. And I'm like, October as a month has to beat September. And so that meant...
You pissed off Bob with that, didn't you?
I piss off Bob with everything that I do. But so in November, we had about 17,000 per week. Now, the week that the Mormon Stories review came out, I think a lot of people in that audience listened to it through John's feed, not ours. But then they came over and they started listening to back catalog stuff. So
we're getting comments on old episodes all over our website, and it just keeps popping up on old stuff.
Yeah, and what they always say is, I'm late to this, I know. Yeah. But I found you guys through Delin.
Right.
And I've been getting PMs because I live in Denver now. There's a higher concentration of ex-Mormons in Denver than there was in Kansas City when I lived there. And I've been getting PMs of people wanting to go to dinner with us. And every one of them was like, I discovered you through John Delin.
Right.
And I was like, oh, geez, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So that week we had 46,000 downloads, you know, compared to the 17,000 or so that we'd been averaging before that. And, you know, it's died down to maybe about 26,000 per episode or per week, since then. But I think the big difference, like in January, we haven't really released any minisodes. We haven't done the midweek. I think this one's going to be a midweek, but mostly we've just done one a week. Who's that?
Matt.
Who's, really?
Sorry, that was Dylan.
Okay. Is Dylan a dog?
That's his 10-year-old daughter.
10-year-old daughter. Okay.
Jeez. Yeah, she's in a cough.
Sorry. Pull your shit together.
Sorry. It sounded like my dog. It used to have a dry cough. But
you caught that pretty clear from she's on the other side of the room.
Yeah. The big difference is that in January we've only released one episode per week, and so if you look at the episodes per week, like before DeLynn, each episode would get about 4,000 to 5,000 downloads in that first week, and now since That Mormon Stories, each one gets about 8,000 to 9,000 downloads. So I think you could say that
to me
doubled.
That's where the rubber hits the road. Yeah. Though is that right there?
Yeah,
exactly.
And like when you look at our top 10 all time downloads. What is it? 7 of these are from December, you know? So Tom Phillips is still our biggest, the part one, the summons, and that's had 11,210 downloads. And then Polygamy Spackdown that we did with John Hamer in October, is coming up close. It's 11,042. And that was on the church's essay about Nauvoo polygamy.
Right. And that one was really good. Randy wasn't on that one, was he?
No, I was not.
No, you weren't on the Polygamy Smackdown?
I'm telling you, man, I am there's the DeLynn bump, and then there's the Randy what's the word I'm looking for?
It's got to be opposite and rhyme with bump. Slump.
The Randy slump. Yeah. The DeLynn bump and the Randy slump.
Yeah.
I'm a buzzkill on so I'm looking at these. I was on 2 of the top 5.
Yeah, so Little Factory.
3 of the top 6.
Oh, well, Little Factories, you weren't. That's our third one.
No, I was not.
Then
I so desperately wanted to be on that one, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Happiness, that was inspired by you, Randy.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, I'm a top 4 there.
And that was this month. That was January 2015. We've already had 9,714.
That's
our
really
fourth.
Good.
Yeah.
It just baffles me that the Mr. Didi one's not in the top 10.
Really?
You're right. Especially considering the Kate Kelly, John DeLynn one is there.
Yeesh. Yeah, that's our fifth one.
Yeah, but you guys released that very time sensitively, and that thing was blowing up already. On the interwebs.
Yeah,
not my favorite episode, but yeah, all right.
Yeah. So we got the Bent Beyond Mormonism, the Christmas Jesus stuff, the Problem Makers. These are all December. And then Tom Phillips Part 2 is number 9, and then our Book of Abraham Smackdown rounds out the top 10.
Oh, wow. That's well, I hope the people that are coming on now go back and find I hope they go to Banner of Heaven, because I thought that thing was pretty dang good for as early as we released that. Some of those that were in our first year,
yeah. And some of our classics are solid, me.
Yeah. Fear was my probably my favorite because of how Radiolab it was.
Yeah,
and how diverse the responses that we recorded were.
And it's all vanity.
So yeah, the audio quality has gone up since we all got good proper microphones and
learned how to turn them on.
Activate them.
So you're not talking into a good quality microphone, but really recording through the built-in mic
speakers.
On your. Yeah.
Probably the first 30 episodes, I thought I was talking through this nice microphone I have, and it was going through my open mic on my laptop. It's awful. So this is like super navel gazing that we're doing right now.
Yeah. It's our
do that every once in a while. That's our MO, bro.
It's our State of the Union.
Yeah.
That's right. It's January.
Yeah. So you mentioned the influx of, personal messages, Facebook friend requests. You know, there was a lot of that after the Mormon Stories. So there was definitely a more audience. And we also started seeing more surveys coming through, you know, where we released the survey back in September, and it pretty much died out by December, but then all of a sudden they started flooding in again. And so at this point, looking back to September, we've had about 450 responses. And
that's pretty good.
It's pretty good. You know, I mean, you think our core audience is probably around, I don't know, 8,000, 9,000 is what we're getting a week. You think it's bigger than that? You know, it probably isn't. If our top episode is 11,000 downloads, but You know, so
yeah, so that's 5%. Yeah. That's not a horrible response for what it is.
Yeah. So of that 450, 70% are men, 30% are women of our audience. The large
and
majority
and the women percentage is grown by the episode. Am I right?
Well, just as far as voices that are on with us, but I don't know about listeners. Because it's funny because for almost as many comments and messages that we've gotten that says you need to add more female listeners, we also get one from messages from women that are like, you guys don't need to.
Yeah, like, they're like, oh, you're messing with the chemistry.
Maybe, but they're like, I like being a fly on the wall listening to guys talk. You know, so there's all types. So whatever.
Right, and you're never gonna. What you learn with all this, you're never gonna please. Everybody loves to be a critic.
Yeah.
And only a certain kind that really doesn't like us is going to spend the time to get on iTunes and write a negative review. And not many people have done that.
No.
No, they've clicked on stars, but we've got have a couple, one or two stars, but there's no comments or there's no real review about why.
Yeah.
Oh, there's one.
That's a two-star that there's a review about, right?
Yeah, it is very negative.
Yeah, okay. I mean before that.
now I've got to go find it. Our most critical. No, it was the 3-star on iTunes.
And wait, they gave us 3 stars and they gave a really negative written review.
Yeah. Well, so I mean, we've only got 3 1-star reviews. We've got 1 2-star review. We've got 1 3-star review, and then 6 fours and 262. 5.
Yeah, but so. Isn't that 3-star one of somebody that we know, Randy?
Oh, was it? Their tag is 14,000 feet.
And I don't know who that is.
And they wrote this on January 2nd. It says, "I have a podcast idea for you. In the podcast, have each podcast participant publicly state their new temple name and then discuss their thoughts around the action they just took. For good measure, do it for your wife as well. Or even better, have her come on and do it. You have all made it clear that the whole temple thing is just so much foo-foo. This seems like an appropriate disavowal." I can't even tell what tone of voice to read that in. Yeah. Should we do that? 3-star. Yeah.
All right, my temple name is Josiah.
My temple name is Voltron.
Yeah.
When nice. I got it, I was like, kick ass.
Right. Right on, Voltron.
That explains a lot, Matt, about you.
And mine was Soundwave.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And I'm not going to play the game.
To me, that's a believer, maybe a liberal believer. That was turned off by the kind of the tone that we have.
Yeah.
And guess what? Our tone's not changing.
Yeah. And maybe it was a 3 out of 5. You know, so it's like very lukewarm. This is the type of review that I spew from my mouth. And so does Jesus, by the way.
Just like all those lukewarm believers.
Exactamundo. I thought
Randy was over at my place this weekend. He was in town. We were just hanging out, and we ended up having a little get together. And I thought you were visiting.
Little? There was like 60 people there.
Yeah. It was, a small little soiree of 70 of my closest friends.
I've heard that bad things happen when there's parties of ex-Mormons at your house.
That is a myth.
Okay, yeah. Right. Well, yeah, we trade down.
All right.
Yeah, it's pretty tame anymore. People have learned how to drink somewhat responsibly, and so it's not like Rumspringa anymore. But so you were talking to somebody. I thought he said he gave us a 3-star review, but then he's kind of come back and thinks it's better than what he originally thought.
You know, folks,
didn't we have this conversation?
You know, folks, this is a perfect example of the pitfalls of alcohol. There's something called retrograde amnesia. And somebody very possibly and very likely, since you remember it, Matt, told me that, and I don't remember who it was. But I do remember our good friend, all of our friends, Devin Wilcock. He gave a comment that we don't take a stand. You remember that, Glenn?
A while ago. Yeah. That was maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
And then he told me, you guys are great. I've listened to every single episode. So
yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I thought he actually rated us as a gave us 3 stars and said that. I thought that's what you had told me. Maybe I'm wrong.
But Devin would not have said that about the temple names, because I did a prayer circle with him in Manhattan.
No, you're right. He is. He has no. He does not believe in sacred cows. So
no, not at all. That would have made Tom uncomfortable.
What would have?
The prayer circle that we did with Josh, Devin, and 2 Catholic girls that we had just met.
Dude, I think it's fair to say that it's not just me that would be uncomfortable in that. But hey, teach their own, man. Teach their own.
Is that a euphemism? A prayer circle? Or you really did a prayer circle?
These 2 Catholic girls were really fascinated with our religion that we were making fun of. And so we wanted to give them a sample or a taste of what really goes on in the temple. And so we took each other around this table in the patriarchal grip left shoulder on the, or the left elbow on the right shoulder. And Josh's wife, Heidi, fell down in the middle of it. It was great.
From laughing?
Well, you know,
being drunk and laughing. Brother. Yeah.
Well, I know in the past, the ex-Mormon conference that they have in Salt Lake around September, October, in the past, they've actually done like a recreation of the endowment ceremony as far as like the handshakes and the tokens. Yeah. And
see, that stuff, it still makes me feel uncomfortable. It's just like, I don't even want to go there.
Yeah, I know. But the first time, the very first time you saw the prayer circle, didn't you go, oh my God, if my friends could see what's going on right now, they would think I'm in a cult.
I didn't.
I did.
I did too. And I'll say, I don't like... I mock, and I've done some very, some sacrilegious things when I'm in small groups and amongst small people. I don't like the whole organized ex-Mormon conference. small groups. Small-minded people, Glenn. Okay. No, amongst small groups, and, you know, we've done things, you know, making fun. But I don't like the whole organized kind of... demonstrations
to me that has the same that induces the same reaction that Glenn has from talking about this. Even to have an organized mockery of it is like, oh my God, you're giving it way too much power, and that's not something that aesthetically appeals to me.
There's something kind of mob think about it that I just like. I don't like that sort of thing. And I don't mean like angry mob. You're going to go and martyr a, you know, self-proclaimed prophet. I just kind of like groupthink kind of stuff that I'd rather have people. Not. I don't know.
All right, I'm going to state it for the record. I do agree with Glenn. I know that happens very few times, but yeah, I agree with you, man.
Well, there's something that's in poor taste to, like, you know, ridicule. In a mean-spirited way, something that really is sacred to a lot of people. I think that's a fair reaction.
Yeah. All right. So let's go back to the survey a little bit. Some of the things that we've learned. The age range, it's pretty much what we are. You know, 30 to 49 is the bulk of our listenership. About 70%. Yeah,
but isn't that podcast listeners too? I probably. Mean, if you just polled people who listen to podcasts, you're probably going to get that same thing.
Probably. I don't know. This one I thought was interesting. 20% of our listeners, at least according to this, that responded to the survey, are active attending members. Which is
that doesn't surprise me at all, because 20? There's a lot of people held captive by their marriage.
Would you kind of expect that it would be higher than 20%?
Yeah, I would have expected something higher than 20%.
I think it is realistically higher.
So you think there's more that they just haven't, that they're not the type that would fill out a survey?
Oh yeah, and they're not even going to admit it. You know, they turn their phone off when someone looks at their podcast list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but Tom, you kind of groaned when I said there's people that are held captive by their family, you know, their marriage.
Yeah, because that's just got a negative connotation, man. Held
but
captive,
it's the
like
God,
I'm like
it's
I'm
the
a
goddamn,
prisoner.
Yeah, it's the goddamn truth. Seriously, Tom, you don't think that there's a lot of non-believers that are so scared, and I would be too. I wouldn't want my wife to leave me. That are so scared, and they use Infants on Thrones as kind of like their little secret therapy.
No, you're right. I, 'cause going back to private messaging, for some reason, I am kind of a lightning rod for people that are in these scenarios that feel connections with me because I'm in that scenario.
And
that's why I pushed back, Randy, is because I felt like you're taking a pot shot at my situations. That's why I initially reacted that way. But
it's not really a pot shot. It's kind of like a statement of reality. Like if a lot of these people, man or woman, because I actually know of some females that are in this dilemma.
Absolutely.
If they, independent of every other variable, if they could just stop going to church, they would choose to.
Right.
And so to me, that's being held captive. But maybe it was a little too snarky of a tone the way I said it. But
well, and I'm defensive about it just because of my own situation where I'm currently at. And my situation isn't quite as abrasive or, I'm not as captive, I guess, because we've been able to negotiate and it's a little more flexible on my terms. But you're absolutely right that there are people, tons of Facebook requests that I've got that they explain their situations just like that, where, I'm compelled to go just to keep my marriage afloat.
Yeah, I think if you look at it as that you're a victim of the system, like you're captive while you're struggling to maintain it, I think that's probably too heavy of a realization to even want to consider. And so you just got to put your mind someplace else. And I think where you put your mind is, this is a conscious choice that I'm making to save my marriage. And so it's much more of a, like, I'm in control, I'm in charge, I'm making the decision to stay in to save my marriage. I'm not a victim of what this is doing to me. But if you say, if you had the choice, it would be, I would be out of the church. Like I was thinking about it earlier today, from one of the emails that we're going to talk about in a little bit, in this guy's situation, with a wife who's a believer and he's not, if I was still in my first marriage, I would probably still be going to church.
So can I ask you a personal question, Glenn?
Yeah.
What, as you're going through the divorce and you know it's going to end, were you still in love with...
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
No, like, I actually, that's a sincere question. Like, I've never been through a divorce. I've been dumped many times.
let's bring this up when we talk about the email with this guy's divorce. And okay. But yeah, we can talk about that. Okay. But yeah, that.
I mean, do you understand that's a sincere question?
No. I understand it's sincere. It's just like I'm laughing. Like, how the hell am I going to talk about this?
How in the hell can I answer that question?
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. So I'll give it some thought,
especially when your current wife listens to it.
Well, she only does if I force her to. But she wouldn't feel too.
Does anybody's spouse listen to your podcast?
I have to put a gun to my wife's head to listen, even to me.
Yeah, I have to load
it to the slump episodes of me.
I have to load it on my phone and then sync the Bluetooth and then play it over the speakers as I drive in order to get my weapons.
Yeah. Yep. That's the way you do it. So here's the stat that really bothered me from the survey. Only 20% of these 450 people have given us reviews on iTunes.
Yeah, what?
What the
hell?
What's
you know what we should say? We should say to those people that aren't going to give us a review, send us donations.
Yeah, you know what? We're not asking for money. We're just asking for a little love.
Well,
yeah.
We've been asking for love, but they're holding out.
Only 20% of the 450? So yeah. They filled out the they've taken the time to
do the survey,
fill out the survey, but they haven't gone on iTunes. Oh, see, fuck you guys.
Well, but I think there's another place that we could look at that would tell us the percentage of listeners that actually listen through iTunes, and it's maybe 50%, maybe at that.
Really?
It's not the only way that people listen to podcasts, and I think that there are definitely demographics out there who refuse to get an iTunes account. They just won't play the Apple game.
Oh, yeah.
And, right. So there's Stitcher. I think we've only got 7 reviews on Stitcher. I mean, it's really small. But there's other places.
My friends are using is like Dreamcast or something like that. That's an ad. It's basically replaces the. It's the same thing as the iPad, the Apple podcast app, but it, you know, can pull every kind of podcast. Is
Yeah, I don't know.
Pocket Cast. That's the one I use for Android. Pocket Cast.
I don't know. If I mean, like, iTunes is just what I use, and so I like seeing it there. And
iTunes is the king, man.
It is the king.
It really is, because that's where even the Android aggregators pull a lot of their information and stats from. So yeah, they're the king.
Yeah. So, you know, I wish I could be like have the same weight that a John DeLynn has when I say, you know, hey guys, go to iTunes and give us some reviews. We could really use them. Or hey, I'm looking for a deal on a refrigerator. Anybody know where I could get one for 50% off?
Dude.
You know, or things like that. But I can't.
Jeez, dude.
I might get like a 5% discount or something, but not 50. But the thing that I like the best about the surveys, and it's always kind of funny to me when I see a survey that comes in and they've like clicked all the boxes, but they don't write a comment to us, because it, you know, like, okay,
that's too much work. That's too much work.
Now, you know, I mean, it adds to like, okay, the demographic of people that are listening, but I don't really get their feedback or what they're thinking. So I like it when there's a comment on there, and I put a couple of comments from some of the recent ones. Here's one. Somebody that says that they always like to hear good history stories, not those made up by the church, but the real life wacky ones. Also, you should do a mini-sode on crazy moments. That would be hilarious.
Crazy comments.
Crazy comments, right. It would be moments if it had an M at the front, not a C. That's comments. We're learning on the fly.
Did you know that there are at least 23 million American adults who can't read a want ad?
Or a book. Or a job application. That's why we have RIF.
RIF is Reading is Fundamental. Give a kid a book and you'll give a kid a break.
For more information, get in touch with your local RIF program.
Hey, you're pretty smart. How'd you get so smart?
Reading.
Well, we kind of have done one, at least, on the crazy comment. We had Born Again Mike. Not Mike Bond, but Born Again Mike had a crazy comment, and we did a whole podcast based on him. And then he kept interacting on later podcasts, comment in the comment threads.
Have we had that many crazy comments, though?
See, that's funny. I wasn't thinking of comments as like comments on the website. I was thinking of like crazy things that we remember seeing happen in church, or you know, things that people have said to us. Or
okay. Yeah.
That's totally different.
So the first thing that popped into my mind, and this is like, I don't think I've ever talked about it in however many years I've been doing this. This has been a story that I've wanted to talk about, but never have. There was this woman that gave a talk in church. It must have been 15 years ago. And her theme was, be careful what you pray for. And she had three stories to illustrate this, you know, be careful what you pray for. And I don't remember all of them, but they all had the same kind of theme. So the one that I do remember was this family that was in financial trouble. They couldn't make their mortgage payments. They're about to lose their house. They're praying. They're asking their families to fast that, you know, they'll have some kind of a miracle. They'll get the money that they need to save their house. And a couple days after this, one of their kids dies. And they collect on the insurance.
And they're able to save the house. Oh my God, God is such a dick. Right? He's like the genie where you didn't word your wish correctly.
Yeah.
And then you end up with amputated legs,
yes,
or something.
I just remembered what the second story was. Thank you. So the second one was you know, so this is like a third person story. She was telling of something that she had heard of, you know, but this one was one that she actually witnessed. So she and her mother went to go see her father play in like a church softball game, but he was sitting on the bench. He wasn't able to get in. And you know, it was like sixth inning, seventh inning. And so she just started praying, Heavenly Father, please bless my dad that he'll be able to get in. And as she says, amen, some guy slides into the second baseman and his foot
his
hits
leg
his
breaks.
Knee. Yeah. Like injures the guy, breaks his leg or something. And because of that, her dad's able to come in and get in the game. You know,
oh
so
my gosh.
The Lord will answer your prayers, but at what expense? Be careful what you pray for. And that's probably the most crazy. And then there was
And how are you supposed to predict the assholery of God? Like, right. So how do you mitigate that effect of God?
You know what I did? I talked on the last one that we recorded about, like, a screenplay or a novel that I was going to write. I had this screenplay idea that this talk kind of germinated, where there's like guardian angels, that like everybody's got your guardian angel, and whenever there's an accident that's about to happen, you know, like there's this guy that's driving down the street and he can either steer one way and he hits a woman with a baby in a stroller, or, you know, another way and he hits the, you know, or just go straight in and the guy in the car is going to die. And so they're guardian angels of all of these people are like negotiating to see which one is actually going to protect their person and which one's going to have to take it, you know, this time. And they're playing rock, paper, scissors. That's how they do it. It's rock, paper, scissors.
But you know, there's got to be some kind of conflicts of interest of these guardian angels, you know, like in order for my guy to be protected,
yeah,
your guy is going to be put in harm's way.
Yeah.
So let's work this out.
But I can't let you do that because it's my guy.
What about my guy?
Yeah, but I've got to protect my guy, and so it just comes down to rock, paper, scissors. That's all it was.
Cause
that's pretty funny.
Yeah. Thanks, yeah. Tom. Man, you're a big fan of mine tonight.
I've been a closet Glenn fan for as long as you've known me.
Oh. From the very first day I sent you like a 2.5-hour recording of just me talking to you about my mission.
So for every flight that was doomed to crash, there's like one guy who was late, or one girl that was late, and somebody in standby that took their place.
Yeah, and those guardian angels are like, man, we can't have our people die. And they're like, but it's these people's turn.
Well, you want to know, my favorite was, I was a greenie. I was with my trainer on my mission. So for those that don't know the terminology, it's your first like month on your mission. And we were teaching like a discussion, and we had brought with us on splits. It was splits night, and we had a 18-year-old who was going to go on his mission in a year go with us, and somehow the topic of different races came up, and his explanation, this 18-year-old, was, well, God has many wives,
yeah,
and each one of his wives is a different race. So God has an Asian wife, a black wife.
Yeah.
And right when he got about to that point, my trainer put his arm in front like he was trying to hold him back, said, that's not true, and then took over the discussion. But, you know, that kid didn't come up with that on his own. Somebody taught him that as the gospel truth.
Well, but I don't know. You could come up with that on your own. I mean, like all of the pieces are there that you could come up with that on your own, and you could still have people spontaneously coming up with this idea on their own. Like, because okay, I don't know if I was taught it, but I know I definitely thought that. And I thought,
we definitely got to do a podcast on this, man.
I think I just created that out of my head, too. I'm with you, Glenn.
Yeah.
I remember kind of thinking the same thing. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, because then, and then it's like every spirit. Like, you know, like the proclamation on the family that gender is eternal. Well, so is race, man. And especially every iteration of race. From the very beginning of time. Go ahead, Tom.
I ended up getting a voicemail from a listener who corrected me when I can't remember what podcast it was, where I'd mentioned that my seminary teacher taught that Jesus wasn't perfect because he sinned once. And he sent me these voicemails saying, no, your seminary teacher was wrong. And then he went on this rant about how, no, your seminary teacher was incorrect. And I was like, no shit, that was the whole point. But yeah, it's... But that stayed with me forever.
Yeah.
How my seminary teacher said, well, no, Jesus, you know, forsaked God on the cross, and that was his one and only sin. And that was bad.
No, his question was, why have you forsaken me? How did Jesus forsake God on the cross?
Jesus said, why have you left me? So it was like he
was
dropped
expressing
his
doubt.
Yeah, expressing doubt.
Oh,
he dropped his confidence in him. Yeah.
Yeah, doubt is a sin in the Mormon church. Yeah.
Well, in the Christian church, too, right? No?
Yeah, I think so.
Whatever, dude.
Who cares?
Yeah.
All right.
Batman could totally beat up Superman.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So another comment. Somebody says, I want to hear episodes either on, and he gives us some ideas, like a scientific explanation of DNC 93 with the typical commentary. So like reading DNC 93 as a like a SmackDown thing. And
what the hell is in 93?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Do you guys know?
I guess I'll just look it up real quick. I still have a picture of Jesus the Christus on my phone as an app.
Really?
Yeah. Just so I can, just for this very purpose.
Just in case you're having a nice, peaceful day, you're like, there it is.
So while you're looking that up,
okay.
The second suggestion is a PPI, which we need to do more of those. I mean, we did.
Oh yeah, we totally lost. We dropped the ball.
Well,
on
we've
all
recorded.
What happened was Scott. Scott was just completely brought that project to a halt.
Yeah, that's not totally Scott, but yeah. But a PPI with the IoT homosexual quorum member.
Which one is homosexual?
I think they're talking about John Hamer. Because those are ones that Randy's on usually, and he always brings up Hamer's orientation because it's a fascination to Randy.
Hey, but, fag. What's it like to be a fag, you fag?
Whoa.
Do you like to hold men's hands?
Man, my daughter got so pissed at me a couple of years ago for using that word. Even in jest, she's like, no, you do not use that word anymore. That's on the N-word list.
Really? Yeah, I still like it very. I like using it very sardonically, and it does only to really prove a point. But I get that it does. It is getting more and more distasteful now that I hear it. And
yeah,
so it's getting there.
Now she was the president of like the LGBT society at in her high school, and I was just because like we grew up with that. Being nothing, and like even there was a song that came on. It was that the MTV "That Ain't Working." That's the way you do it. Play the guitar on the MTV. You know that song? That ain't working.
A little faggot with an earring and a makeup. Yeah, buddy, that's his own hair. The little faggot got his own jet airplane. The little faggot, he's a millionaire.
I did not know that that was hidden inside that.
I didn't know that was a lyric, though.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't heard the song for years, so yeah.
Well, guess what?
Yeah, I am going to now.
Put in the blip, yeah.
Right.
But,
So or you go to 80s movies, and they'll pop up. It'll pop up every once in a while.
It's in Bill and Ted's. It's in Bill and Ted's when they hug each other. Then they call each other fag.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's right. Well, what's the – that's my favorite
South Park episode. Have you seen the South Park episode?
No, it's the – yeah, that one's good. But the Spicoli. Those guys are fags.
Yeah. I need to watch that movie again. That's been a long time.
That was just on this week. I watched it last week.
It holds up, man. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
So DNC 93 is where every temple gets the slogan, "The glory of God is intelligence." But it talks about the...
is it like intelligence equals light and truth?
Yes.
Okay.
That's verbatim. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it talks about how elements are eternal. It's kind of like the... liberal believers like to point to DNC 93 to say, look, Joseph Smith was a scientist.
This is the Tao of Mormonism conversation.
Yeah, matter cannot be created or destroyed, you know.
Okay, I won't be on that episode.
Yeah, right. That's, that's in the nosebleed category for Tom.
I'll be coloring in my hieroglyphics, thanks.
All right. So the third thing this guy suggests is the IoT post-Mormon pornography experience, which
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Because is there no difference in your pornography consumption post-Mormon than pre-Mormon?
Oh, or during it's gone way down.
Yeah, well, I'd say way down.
Yeah,
it's not as exciting anymore. Like the tab. Once you take the taboo away, then it's just really bad production.
Okay. I don't know. Matt's the one that sent me links to porn sites, but they're all like, what was it? Mormon okay. Girls with a Z?
Well, check this out. I was just scrolling through the Brodies that we were just talking about, and there's a category that website's included.
Really? But yeah. What's the category? Satirical websites? That can't be real.
No, it's like best sexual erotica or something like that.
Oh, gosh.
Wow. I know.
I don't know.
Well, there's all kinds of like swinger podcasts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like couples that are successfully navigating an open marriage and swinging. They'll chronicle their experience as swingers.
We've never had anybody that's willing to talk about that openly.
No, we haven't, unfortunately. Whatever happened to Jay? Is he? Do you guys still keep in touch with him?
You know, it'd be great. We should do a follow up and see if what he's doing.
No, I talked to him once.
Or who?
I think that he tried it once again, but they were like, "Yeah, no, we're not going to do this anymore."
So he's done. He's done with that.
I think so. I don't know.
Can we get to it now?
Okay. This is the final comment from the survey that Randy's been really, really anxious. Do you want to read it, Randy?
Sure.
All right.
It's just straight.
Yeah.
All right. So this is from a 40-something female that gave us a 2 out of 5 stars.
On our survey, not on iTunes. Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't on iTunes?
No, this is on our survey, the below average.
Okay. All right. Here we go. I am just listening to the Mormon Expression podcast. I am only at the section where Tom reads his minicast.
How about you read it like you think that she actually sounds in real life? I'd like to hear you do her voice.
Oh, you want me to do like a falsetto female voice?
Just like a chick voice. I just want to hear your chick voice.
No.
What's her take?
Yeah.
I'm just going to read it, dude. If you want to perform, you can do it.
You do good voices, though. I always like it when you do voices. You do it really well.
It has to be spontaneous because I can't. You can't say monkey okay. Go.
All right. Well, definitely, I don't want you to do it now.
Yeah, because it'll be god awful.
Yeah, do not do it.
Hell sakes, Glenn. Good.
He's trying to use reverse psychology on me.
Ah, man, you're good.
I am just listening to the Mormon Expression podcast. I am only at the section where Tom reads his minicast. I have stopped to comment on how I feel. First of all. I am very interested in intelligent discussion regarding Mormonism. I feel your podcast is more fluff than discussion. God, dude, you know you can edit that in.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
What is the difference between fluff and discussion? We are literally nothing but a discussion.
No.
You want to say a good discussion, a bad discussion? I think your discussion lacks substance.
She explains it very clearly in the next sentence, Matt.
All right, go.
The interruption of silly sound effects and audience cheering, yay, is disruptive and juvenile. Yeah. I almost deleted your podcast from my lineup, but I decided to give it another chance. Hi. I'm trying hard to be open-minded, but I keep coming up with the thought that you all act like whining babies.
I don't have that sound effect. We should get that.
The ambulance, yeah. So you didn't like the way John Larson did his podcast?
Yeah.
Leave and do your own and stop bitching about it. His ideas for a show are different than yours, to each his own. He doesn't say anything bad about you guys on his podcast.
Nope.
Not even after.
In fact, his recommendation on his last podcast is what led me to listen to your podcast. I am going to continue to listen to the rest of the podcast on Mormon Expression with an objective ear. Hopefully you guys will redeem yourselves. If not, you have lost another listener.
Another one.
And another comes on, and another comes on. Another one rides the bus. Hey, he's going to sit by you. Another one rides the bus.
Another. How do you know we've lost one?
We've lost.
That's called, she's begging the question. Anyway, here is hoping you're, and she didn't, she used you, you're. Y-O-U-R, the possessive your. You know what? Fuck you.
Hold over, grammar police coming out.
Yeah, grammar. That's the last bastion of someone who's losing an argument. Anyway,
fluff.
Here's hoping you're not going to continue being a group of whiny Dorky.
Yeah.
Dorky. We're not dorky.
We'll take white and nerdy, but dorky. Nerdy. I'm just too white and nerdy. I'm
just too white and nerdy. Really, really white. Yeah, she hasn't really set up dorky very well. She's just kind of throwing that in there. It's a little sloppy.
Yeah, it's just like a last second.
She set up whining quite well, but she didn't set up dorky.
Yeah.
No.
A group of whining, dorky Mormon guys who think they're funny.
Not!
That's like what Wayne used to do on Wayne's World. Like, it'd say, you're really funny. Not. It's so, that's good. That's good.
My gosh, that is so good. 1990s
she
right there.
She eviscerated us.
She pulled the knot.
Yeah.
You guys are funny. Not!
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Nice 1992 reference.
The problem is that's so dumb. It's not even funny. Dumb, you know. Ugh,
yeah. Right, right.
Yeah, I get where the instinct comes from, but it just, you know, it's just
still eye-opening. Mean.
It's eye opening. Like,
she puts the stink in instinct. Yeah. So we do get touching emails from listeners too. All right, so let's go to the one that we got today. And this is really what inspired us to even get on and have kind of this impromptu State of the Union or whatever conversation. So, and this guy told me that I could read this, just not give away his name or anything too personal about him. But he said, seriously, you guys may have just saved my life this week. I recently separated from my wife. Church issues. She basically said, no priesthood, no marriage. Sorry. I'm a cop and lost my testimony on the job. I've seen some shit, and that shit don't fit with the LDS worldview anymore.
Amen, brother. Preach.
Yeah, preach, yo. I spent the usual year obsessing over church history and then realized there was not much to do but come out of the non-believing closet, and my whole world exploded. I have no expectation of any kind of happiness while I work through this painful separation, divorce with my wife, whom I still adore. Sigh.
That's the hardest part for me. That part was the part that was like a knife in my heart.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, but you can't unknow what you know, he says. I'm only about 3 weeks into the separation, so this still feels like a nightmare to me. I'm still learning who's on my side and who's no longer willing to even talk to me. Everyone's asking me if I drink, etc. It's all a bit overwhelming right now. We have 4 kids. My oldest is on a mission right now. He doesn't know yet about my great apostasy or the separation. Both sides of the family, uber Mormon. It's really a church thing, because my wife and I, we really like each other otherwise, but I get it. It's a huge loss for her, too. So
heartbreaking, man. Big time.
Yeah.
And it's nice that we, you know, we do this for ourselves, but, you know, he says, I'm going to continue soaking in the IoT episodes just to help him through this crisis. It's like, wow, there's actually real people out there that benefit from what we're doing, and that makes me not want this to be my last episode.
Yeah, right.
We'll have to edit that part out.
Yeah,
but and we get just to give like a accurate portrayal, paint an accurate picture of this. We get what would you guess? Like at least 10 to 1 of these compared to the one that we read earlier.
Oh, you mean the negative one?
We get 10 like you guys have helped me keep my sanity.
It's a higher ratio than that.
It's probably higher than 10 to 1.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's and that's nice. I mean, those are the kinds of comments that do make us feel good, but at the same time, like every single one of us read this and went, "Oh shit," you know? Like, why does it have to be that way?
Right,
and
exactly.
Like I wish that there was something that we really could do to help, but it's just you know, I don't know. I don't know what to say in a situation like this. So Randy, you asked me earlier if when I was going through the divorce, did I love my wife? You know, so it was like this with me. We hadn't really been in love for a long time. You know, like maybe never. There was a lot of competition in that relationship, there just wasn't very much togetherness that was like really putting down your guard and allowing somebody in. You know, we just didn't really have that. And so I was still hopeful that we could salvage the relationship. And so it like the shit really hit the fan like January 2011, and then it was a pretty quick spiral, a couple of months.
A 24 hours in jail.
Yeah. And at that point, that was March. So I'd had about 2 months of just harrowing, like it was just absolute hell going through that. And I would ask her almost every day, what do you think our chances are of, you know, coming through this? And she'd be like 1%. 1.5%, you know, it depended on like, you know, how happy or not she wanted to make me that day kind of thing. You know, it was a rough time. And, it was that jail experience that I'm like, yeah, this isn't going to work. I mean, like for me holding out, like she doesn't have my best interest at heart at all.
So in your situation, that was a divorce that absolutely should have happened for the right reasons. But in this case, there's no reason that these two people.
That's the hardest part to me. Yeah. If they both like each other and they enjoy each other, except for the church stuff,
this is one of those cases. And I know reexamining the apostate lens when I talked with my brother, I got a little flack from you guys by not being fair to believers, but this right here is a perfect example of this is 100% on the church and how they set up how people think in the church. Cause these are two compatible, happy people that have put four kids on the earth.
Yeah.
And, everything is fine except for they have different metaphysics,
but that those differences are so deeply seated into the foundation of their relationship, you know, that she can't, like he goes on to talk a little bit about you know, how even drinking like Diet Coke or drinking coffee is so offensive to her, and it, you know, threatens their eternal relationship. And everything is so based on this foundation of eternity and striving for eternity that even the smallest of, you know, missteps could throw it all out of whack. And that was one of the things that he couldn't accept that anymore, because being a cop, he describes the situation like standing 10 hours over the body of a little baby with two broken legs that had died of malnutrition because the dirtbag parents stopped feeding her, didn't even clean the poop off of her. What is that? Half body cast? What is that, Matt? What's he talking about?
Well, she apparently broke her legs.
Legs.
Yeah. So, you know, and so he's wondering why does a God care if I drink coffee when stuff like this is happening? You know, so like when you're experiencing this real life problem of evil or problem of and you're dealing with the superficial kind of better not watch a rated R movie, and he's living a life that is like way more intense and way worse than any kind of rated R movie. You know, that's a dissonance that's hard to square.
Yeah. Well, and I went through the same thing with my job, with, you know, same type of stuff. Is you're dealing with kids that, you know, whether they're sexually abused or, you know, repeatedly for years by the people that should be protecting them. That's when you look and you say, yeah, God doesn't care about where your keys are. God doesn't care about your job if he can't stop this. And I had the same. Definitely the same process, yeah. But it, you know, mine happened 4 years ago.
And my former father-in-law, who I think is fantastic, you know, I mean, that was the hardest thing of probably divorcing that family to me, is losing that relationship with him, because he's really a great guy. He's the one that's the bishop of our ward right now. But he was an LA County sheriff. He's retired now. But he had the same type of perspective. But he was a convert to the church, you know, and he came from a really broken family. And for him, the church meant family. Family can be together forever. That was it for him, and that's the truth of the gospel for him. He's never read the Book of Mormon. He doesn't really care about the doctrinal stuff. If he really gets thinking about it, he goes, God, like he would say this to me. He's like, Glenn, I could never be a god of a world, because if somebody in that world that I was a god of even thought about harming a little kid, he'd be so out of there. It's like, there's no way I would allow that, you know? And, you know, and of course my response was, oh, he's a convert, so he doesn't understand how important it is to give people their free agency, to be able to, you know, because God gives enough people enough rope to hang themselves, you know, because it's got to be up to our agency. I totally bought into that whole thing, you know, but he didn't. He saw that, but he also has this family that, I mean, it sounds a lot like this guy that emailed us, very conservative. Like, we were going to go watch Gladiator once, and he usually kept this stuff private, and he didn't tell him. Like, he said, we're going to go see X-Men, but no, it was actually Gladiator. So I'm like, let's just tell him. His 14-year-old daughter at the time wrapped her whole body around his legs and said, Daddy, don't go. Don't go and see that rated R movie.
Oh my God.
So he's like, okay, fine, we're gonna go see X-Men. They're like, all right. And we went and saw Gladiator.
A good friend of mine sent me a meme today, and it's this beautiful picture of Jesus embracing this young man at the end of his life, and it says, "Welcome home. I'm so happy you never drink coffee."
You made it.
Yeah, this comes from my buddy who says, it's just a shame he didn't express his happiness earlier by maybe healing my mother's brain cancer. Jeez. So, I mean,
it's like the Tim Minchin song, Thank You, God. You know, God took a break from giving children in Africa malaria to heal your middle-class white mom bitch's cataract because of a particular prayer by a particular people in a particular church done a particular way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think once you are aware of the implications of God healing, you know, like picking and choosing who's healed and who's not, and like the responsibility for it all, it is really hard to you know, squeeze that toothpaste back into the tube kind of thing.
And people don't even think about it when they get up and bear their testimony and of how you know, they were healed or they were miraculously kept from being T-boned in an intersection, you know, when an accident happened just seconds after they went through the intersection because the spirit prompted them or whatever. But people don't ever think it past the next level of people that might be listening where God didn't intervene. And what does that mean?
It means that the guardian angels had to play rock, paper, scissors to... You can't protect everybody.
There was this...
And you got to be careful what you pray for.
Yeah, when I was... when my wife and I were dating, it was just, you know, it was a couple months before, because we didn't date for very long before we got married, but it was...
I hope you dated afterwards.
A little bit. There was a guy that got up, and he was the first counselor in the stake presidency, but he was in my wife's ward, and it was fasting testimony, and he bore his testimony. And he just went up there and listed off how every kid, all the boys have graduated from college, all the boys have gone on missions, all the kids, including the daughters, are married in the temple. And then he's like, we have no black sheep in our family. We're so blessed. And so his whole... we're so blessed was like a slap in my wife's parents' face, where two of their kids at the time, eventually all four left the church. Two of the four had left the church, and I was incensed. And, you know, I was an absolute believer at the time. I was incensed by this guy's talk. And Jen's dad, who was in the bishopric of that ward, cornered him in the hallway and just let him have it. My wife's dad is just awesome. He's just such a honest, authentic, good person. And he just lit into that guy. And to that guy's credit, he apologized that was an insensitive talk. But that's exactly what happens when people talk about how they have their miracle. And they, you know, it comes from a good place. They want to show gratitude and express the miracle that happened in their life. But they never think about what the effect that could have on other people in the audience, where they have had misfortune in their life and God didn't save them from it.
This is the problem that I see with this guy and his wife. and this is why I kind of echo what you said, Randy, the responsibility and blame falls squarely on the church's shoulders, because his wife took the church serious and very literal. And these are the repercussions that come from that shit. I mean, she's just doing what she's told. She's believing and she's taking the pill whole. And these are the consequences of that. I mean, luckily, you know, most people in the church don't take it so seriously. And so, you know, most marriages can survive to some degree a disaffection from one spouse to the other or whatever. But if one takes it incredibly serious and then the other disaffects, it's going to be a problem. And
and from her perspective, she's completely justified.
Yep.
He's the one that broke the deal. But why does she have that perspective? Because the church set it up that way.
Yeah, that's why. And why does the church set it up that way? To protect their power, to make them relevant. You know, you've got to have all these fear messages of you've got to be exact. You cannot mess up a word in the sacrament prayer and have that thing be valid. You know, so
have you guys ever had that awkward experience where you got some bishop with a stick up his ass that makes some poor brand new priest say it like seven times?
Turns a whole congregation of an embarrassment and shame to that poor kid.
Everyone's fidgeting. Everyone's rooting for
everybody
that kid.
Is.
Right. Yep. And it sets this, like this Boyd K. Packer-esque environment of exactitude, that things have to be perfect and you have to be continually striving for perfection, and you can't express your failures, and there's just no room for it. It's just that whole quest for perfection thing, if by the fruits ye shall know them, there's too much shitty fruit coming out of that. Seriously.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's why I'm laughing.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, sucks. This was fun.
So anyway, this guy that emails us today, we feel for you. I mean, I hope things get better. I can say, for my experience, at least life after the divorce was so much better. I mean, even immediately afterwards, it was just better. My relationship with my kids was better. It's probably a different situation than he's in.
Yeah, the thing that I keep coming back to is it seems like he's still in love with her. Your ex-wife was just, cruel to you towards the end.
Well, and probably during a lot too, but I fell in love with an ideal, and even from the beginning. And the way that I met her, I was on my mission and I was writing to her, that we met through letters on my mission, and wrote for a year before I got back. So I had already kind of formed.
She fell in love with, from what I heard from your sister, your cleverness and your humor.
Thank you. I don't know. The first time we met face to face, she was very cold and she didn't want to, be in love. And I took that as a challenge, like, oh, I'm going to win this, kind of thing. It right off the bat. And I had already created in my mind, like I was on my mission having this vision, I'm putting in quotes, because I even knew it wasn't a real vision. It was just like a daydream of the two of us sitting together in the pre-existence at Jesus's feet, learning lessons from him, and that, it was going to be like the
circle of our love.
Exactly.
Extends beyond the reach of time.
I was going there. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And that we were going to find each other and be soulmates. And, so I already had fabricated that narrative. And I think for the entire 17 years that we were married, I kept maintaining this hope in a completely unobtainable ideal.
Ding, ding, ding.
We have a winner.
This is Mormonism in a nutshell.
I kept maintaining this hope in a completely unobtainable ideal. But that was my situation. So being able to step away from that and have some real relationships, some that were good, some that weren't, and then get remarried, it's good. So I hope it's hopeful to this guy who emailed to us that it does get better. It can get better.
Yeah.
For sure.
And to any, and to not just this guy, but to anyone out there listening, and if you're in the same situations or whatever, I'm honored that you guys listen to us and we're some sort of relief or an escape for you guys or girls out there. I mean, it's actually very, very flattering that we can be some sort of a little bit of weight off your shoulders in that burden area. But.
And it's beyond anything I ever envisioned when I started.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's quite puzzling as well. I've got one more email to share here that within maybe the last week or two, a female listener who, you know, self-identifies as a feminist, and she's done some other podcasts as well, and she pointed me to one of them. She may come on and do a listener essay for us eventually.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
So I started listening, and she's such a, like, an activist and, like, serious minded. I'm like, why would she even be interested in what we do? We're such goof offs, you know, I don't know. Do we take this stuff seriously? We don't take it too seriously. I guess some of the things we do take seriously, but so I couldn't believe that there was really that appeal. Like, I've got this stereotype that even saying women like that, I'm going to get in trouble. But that women like that would turn their nose up and be like, "You guys are, you know, infants.
you guys are cretins. This is locker room talk."
Right. Yeah.
Because we've heard those things before.
So I asked her, you know, help me understand why. Help disabuse me of this stereotype. Basically, is what I asked her. But she says, "I think it's funny to imagine the stereotype that you paint me as. When it comes to the subject of abuse, I'm very passionate and serious, and I'm pretty good at those causes. I've created events for congressmen. I've been in meetings with senators. I raise awareness. I help with post-Mormon groups. I host events, and I give a lot of myself, but people are so complicated and multifaceted. I have, for the most part, been a stay-at-home mom. I do not come across as a serious feminist to people who know me. I think IoT is great. Yes, there are times when I get annoyed and I wish I could jump in the conversation while I'm listening to you guys, though most of the time I'm very entertained. You have several episodes with great content. I think the way it's edited with clips is well done too." I thought it was just fluff.
It's juvenile.
Right. "And it's fascinating to me to hear other perspectives on subjects that I think I have my finger on, especially when it's just the guys. It's like getting to be a fly on the wall and observe a club that I'm not a part of. Sometimes I find myself thinking, so this is what guys say and act like when I'm not around, and I'm intrigued. The way some of you react or what you respond to is so different than I would have reacted. Of course, there's a lot that we have in common coming from a Mormon upbringing. Don't get me wrong, I think your podcasts have bumped up a notch because of having women like Chelsea and Margaret Toscano." You agree with that, Matt?
Margaret Toscano is awesome.
Jeez, dude.
Wow.
Yeah, I asked for that. I do like episodes with women involved.
So is Chelsea.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So she goes on, "I want multiple points of view before I form my own opinions. I'm very aware that I could be wrong on just about everything. I understand confirmation bias, how memory works, relativity, etc. And I think two people can both be right while saying the opposite things. I've been through a lot in my life. I have a huge dysfunctional family." She has 15 siblings.
That's holy insane. Smokes. Is her mom needs a statue if she's still alive?
I think there's probably
stepbrothers, stepsisters.
Yeah. "Child of divorce, sexually abusive stepfather who my mother stayed with. I got divorced, lost my face. I'm the mother of three, trying to be the first female in my family to earn a bachelor's degree," and so on. She knows Scott, so she said, and she knows you, Matt. "Ask Scott, most people see me as the fun, happy, typical good girl. And I am that too. See, complicated."
She sounds like a kick-ass woman.
Yeah, awesome. Well, and not only that, I haven't been on any of our feminist podcasts, so I'm just gonna stand up for and get ready for the arrows.
Here it goes.
But I find that, and I even came up with a term. I call them sunstone feminists. They become moralists, and they get so caught up on these little moralistic issues that they miss the big picture like things like that really matter, like cruelty. And this girl, man, she not only she had an interesting background, but she seems to have processed it really well. The girl, I called her a girl. God damn it. This woman.
Arrows.
Arrows.
it's broad, Randy. This broad.
Yeah.
She sounds like what I like to call a discerning feminist. And I want to sit at her feet and learn. But I so often and so many times I've been crucified in private Mormon boards for saying something that was, you know, a moralist would say was wrong, and just getting destroyed to the point where I was like almost in the fetal position crying, thinking I was a horrible scumbag. And so this is all I'm saying is I am really interested and excited to hear her perspective.
Cool.
Amen, brother.
Do you guys have any topics that you're working on, anything you guys are excited about that you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, last year this guy sent us an email about an article on Reznor versus Lenin, and that's apparently not going to happen.
Hey, why? Gonna do the,
I reached out to the author, and he hasn't gotten back to me yet. That'd be cool if we could get him on, but if not,
yeah.
We'll do it either way.
All right.
If I decide to come back, if I decide to come out of retirement, I definitely coming soon within the next 2 months. I'm going to do a Mormon funerals podcast, and Melissa, Glenn's sister, wants to be a part of it. We just got to get her a fucking mic that works.
Well, I have gone through a major life change, and it's the first one that I've gone through outside of the church. And so I do want to do something on decisions, major life decisions and changes and processing things when you you know, don't have the comfort of, you know, all the answers that come with God and inspiration, I guess.
Well, and there's one that I'm working on with Kim, in fact, that I don't know when we'll be able to work it out, because I kind of have an idea of how we want to work it. Is we want to do kind of a mixed belief couple panel where, you know, kind of going along the lines of that last email where one spouse is disaffected while the other one is still a believer. And we want to kind of talk that through. That's kind of the situation I'm in. That's the situation that Kim's in, and there's a lot of people in that situation. I mean, it's not exactly as fun and lighthearted, but that's one that I want to do in the near future. So
yeah, I think it's valuable. So we were talking about this. So your wife is a believer. Would you consider her a believer?
You talking to me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is.
Huh.
A liberal believer.
Because I thought that she was leaning in the other direction.
Well, yeah, the liberal believer. Yeah.
Yeah, which means you believe less, right?
Which means she's right. Okay with Tom having a coffee maker in the house.
Yep, that's exactly right. She's okay with having an apostate husband. So, yeah.
You think she'd be okay if you opened the marriage?
Oh, brother.
Come on.
Come on. That's edited.
I don't think Tom would be okay with that.
No, Tom would not be okay with that.
So I've got a list of 15 that I'm looking at here, but I'm only going to pick two to talk about of like
wait. Do you have a list of 15 of your own?
Yeah.
Kick ass. Wow. Yeah. I want to hear these.
You want to hear all of them? You won't. You'll groan at a lot of them. Let me read two, and then I can.
Well, how am I going to shit on most of them? You got to list them all.
Okay. All right.
I got five more minutes, and then I have to go.
Okay. One of my favorite episodes of the NBC version of The Office is when they discover a screenplay that Michael Scott had written, and they get in the boardroom and they do a read on it.
Right.
So,
right.
I
what was the name of his character? His character had a cool name, like
Michael Scarn.
Scarn. Yeah.
So I wrote a screenplay several years ago called "How to Marry a Mormon," and I've got to dig it up. And I think it would be kind of hilarious if we did a read, like kind of like
of
a
your
table,
script?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Table readers. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Like we did a table read as an episode.
I like that a lot of, for a lot of reasons. One is, I think it'd be entertaining, and we get a shit on
right,
it. So it'll
right,
be great.
Exactly. Right, right, right.
And that will be rich to put in like clips for, I think.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the documentary, An Honest Liar, about the Amazing Randy.
We need to do that.
I put that in Dropbox. So
like, I watched it. It was phenomenal.
It's fascinating.
Yeah,
so,
big time.
Yeah, I want to do that. So I've got a bunch of things, like Who Wrote the Bible. We've never done a podcast on that one. We've talked about it several times, like the J, the E, and the P, and the D sources in the Bible and stuff. But that was an interesting book. I know Scott was interested in that.
Oh, and I was going to do one on the Sam Harris Waking Up book. Yeah. I'm going to do that.
Cool.
Yeah, well, I put a feeler out because I want to iconoclast the shit out of Mother Teresa. I get sick and tired of people saying, well, yeah. I'm no Mother Teresa. Yeah, she was a...
Oh, dude.
Easy there.
That's Hitchens. That's right. That's kind of Hitchens stuff.
Yeah. He goes a little too far, and I recognize that, and that'll be part of the discussion, but I find the Mother Teresa cultural phenomenon fascinating. And I just want to give the other perspective. And it's a short read. It's like 100-something pages. It's almost like a pamphlet.
Yeah.
But I didn't get a lot of interest from you guys. So
that one scares me a little bit. Because I worry that you might call her a something.
You're going to edit out. You're going to edit out that I part,
oh,
right?
I'll make it fun.
No, please edit it out.
No. I'll like bleep it.
All right.
Okay. But everyone's going to know I said cunt.
Well, we keep saying it. They'll probably figure it out.
Yeah, at some point. See, but to me, that goes along with that Lennon v. Resner stuff. Yeah. That's, you sent that out there, and I said, yeah, we should have that conversation in connection with...
You're the only one that responded, by the way.
Well, you just got to set a date and push.
Hey, I've floated stuff out there that nobody's responded to, so let's put the hurt feelings aside, man. Let's...
No, so it wasn't hurt feelings. It was like, oh, this was more interesting to me than the other guys. So that's probably a good sign.
You know, you can always find other people too to bring on. We've got a bunch of binders full of women now.
Binders full of women.
All right, where are you at on your list there?
Oh, okay, I want to do When Prophecy Fails, that book by Leon Festinger, where that coined the phrase cognitive dissonance. Do you guys know that story? Like his
yeah, they ended up retrenching and becoming even more devoted when the prophecy failed.
Right, he had these students that infiltrated a UFO cult, and it's really interesting. I want to do like some Elizabeth Loftus memory, lost in a shopping mall kind of stuff. Basically what I did is I went and I looked at one of my old Folklore 101. Syllabus with all the different things I used to do with my class, and it's like that'd be fun to duplicate some of those.
I like the Loftus stuff. I think that's really good stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, I want to really go detail into the failed seduction, Joseph Smith's failed seduction of Nancy Rigdon, because I think that's a fascinating story. And that's when, like, I started writing like a little script to have my daughter and wife read it. You know.
How did because Sidney Rigdon then came back? I know that a lot of people thought he had a little brain damage from the incident that happened in Kirtland, where his head was drug on the ground when they tried to castrate Joseph and they tarred and feathered him instead because the doctor once the balls were in front of him, he's like, I don't think I want to do this. But he reconciled and then tried to take over the church after Joseph died, and I'm just wondering how Joseph managed to.
He was also murdered because he was a polygamist, right?
No, Sidney
was
never
murdered.
Never
polygamist.
Oh, wait, no. Who? Harley?
Yeah. Sidney Rigdon.
Oh, Sidney Rigdon, sorry.
He was not
in the polygamist. Harley Pratt, sorry.
Yeah, he was never in the polygamist circle.
Yeah.
But he still was like the first counselor in the first presidency, was not at the time Joseph died.
All right, and that's an episode. So just a quick reminder to please nominate us for the podcast award thing that we talked about at the beginning here. Just go to our website, infantsonthrones.com, and click on the news tab. It'll be new, and it'll take you right where you need to go to nominate us for the categories that you want to nominate us for. Thanks again for listening, and anyone for the closing prayer? Just
Hi, this is Anessa from Mesa, Arizona, and I am a feminist listening to Infants on Thrones while doing laundry. You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsandthrones.com, and if you really like what you hear, give the quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes. I did. Anyone for the closing prayer? I've wasted so much time.
Thank you for listening to Infants on Thrones.
And it's all vanity.